Back here on the Big Show, it is Patriots Monday with Fred, with Steve. We're doing it live down here at Gillette Stadium, and it's time for our weekly interview with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Coach, how you doing today?
Doing all right, Glenn. How about you?
You did not have to dress. You didn't have to dress up for us here today. He's got the tie on. The show. Oh, it's an event. Oh, that's right.
I have a new T-shirt on.
Yeah, you do.
I usually come in, isn't it?
Yeah.
No.
No, usually you have a jacket over the shirt and tie.
No, we don't even get the ripped off hoodie. You know, we don't even get that usually.
That's right.
I got to tell you, we were just talking about this during the break. That was as eloquent a retirement press conference as I think I've ever seen. I don't think people have ever seen you that emotional. Freddie was ready to run out with a box of Kleenex for you, but to me, this was more emotional than others, I would think, for you.
Oh my God, yeah, it sure was. He's Teddy's really a special guy, and the first year I was here in '96 was Teddy's rookie year, and even though I wasn't here for 3 years, you know, I've gone through his whole career with him, you know, 13, 14 years now, and he's just you know, can't really put it into words, you know, how much he's meant to this team, how much he's meant to me personally. What a great leader, player, what an inspiration he's been. He's just, you know, he's a coach's dream. He really is.
When you guys brought him in, third-round draft pick, he was terrific.
Tweener.
Yeah, he was a terrific college player. But did you guys have doubts on whether his game could translate into the pros and he could develop into what he developed into?
Yeah, I don't think we had any idea of that. I think what we were looking for was, you know, maybe a third down nickel rusher kind of guy.
Situational guy.
And a special teams player. And, you know, then try him at linebacker and see how it goes. But more of a third down, you know, rush guy and a fourth down, you know, special team player.
But when you saw him the first time, he's not that tall. He's not very muscular. He's not that fast. Obviously, tackling, he line up sometimes and tackle. That great hand speed, you know, knocking down guys' hands. And he did a decent job of that. But when you have something that really doesn't fit anywhere, and to develop into a guy those instincts, you know, Steve Nelson was a guy with great instincts, but a little more physically imposing guy. But he was so good at reading what people are doing and follow the game plan you put out for them and anticipating things. You know, talking about anticipating pass routes. Yeah, couldn't run. He'd be right with tight ends and backs out of the backfield. He'd trip them and pull them and do everything he could. But when you brought him in here and looked at him, go, what did we get ourselves into? I mean, where is he going to fit?
Well, he looked a lot better when the pads came on. You know, he's just a good football player. And pretty much everything we asked him to do right off the bat, you could see he's got a little bit of knack for it. Like, maybe he didn't know exactly what he was doing, but he knew who had the ball. He got to him. He knew who was trying to block him. He could get away from him. And he was a productive player probably from about the maybe fourth, fifth, sixth game of that 96 season on. You know, we used him situationally on defense and had little packages that he was involved in. And then, of course, his role grew and grew.
What is his what is Teddy Bruschi's legacy with the Patriots? What is how important was he to the team you've developed over the last decade?
Oh, I'd say he's one of the real, real critical people. He just did everything so well. Every day he walked into the facility was a positive day, and he had a great attitude in the meetings, in the weight room, on the practice field. Certainly on game day, his preparation was exemplary. Really, pretty much everything that I would say to the team, he did, and he, you know, he was the Troy Brown, Tom Brady, you know, guys like that. They did it. They were examples, not so much probably because I was saying this is what you should do, because that's who they are, and that's what they are. And Teddy was the energy he brought to us as a football player and brought to our team. As I said today, he always just seemed to know what the right thing to do was. After a game, when we'd win and everybody'd come together, he'd always kind of have the right phrase about how the team was feeling and could, in 5 or 10 seconds, just bring it all together right there. It was amazing. And he just, you know, he knew when to get on a guy. He knew when to back off him. He knew when to smile and crack a joke. He knew when to be serious. And you know, he just, it seemed like he always did the right thing.
Was he losing a lot of it? Or just did he just want to call it quits and hang with the family? Just had enough?
Well, I think Teddy, made the decision on his terms, and that's what I'd say is the most important thing, that he played on his terms, and he ultimately left on his terms, and that's I think a real credit to him to be able to, you know, accomplish what he's accomplished, and you know, he's always been in control of his life and his situation, and he was today.
Would there have been a spot for him? That's hard to judge.
I think there's, you know, there's always a spot for Tedrusky.
You were reciting today some of the many great plays that Teddy Bruschi, and he had so many game-changing plays in his career. Caller brought this up today, and it was an interesting point, and we kind of threw it around. You know, Teddy Bruschi is probably not going to be in Canton at the Hall of Fame, but he may hold as many big plays for a guy that's not going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. You think about his career and how many game-changing plays, big plays he made, and usually those are reserved for the great players that find their way out in Canton, Ohio. It's amazing.
Oh, he really did. He had some of his biggest plays in the biggest games, and we would have never been there without his stop in short yardage in the Oakland game on 3rd and 1. You know, we would have the strip in the Indianapolis game, the interception in the Super Bowl, the interception in the Miami game. And how many tackles? I mean, you know, just he did so many things for us. I mean, when we went in the 0-1 season, we were a 3-4 team, and Brian Cox got hurt, then Ted Johnson got hurt, and then we went to a 4-3. We put Seymour on the nose, and we won the rest of our games. And Teddy was a middle linebacker, and he just, you know, he almost willed that defense to be a really good defense, certainly in the biggest games of the year at the end of the season. And just every time you turn around, there he is. You know, he's making a play, making a big play, or doing the little things, kind of like he mentioned today. There's a lot of little things that he did that people didn't notice, that if you're a coach, you saw him slip a block. You saw him reroute a receiver. You saw him take a guy that made the quarterback hold the ball that gave somebody else a chance to get the sack. And he did a million little things good that made everybody else's job easier, and he really made people around him better.
How much of that was preparation, and how much of it was instinct?
Yeah, probably both. I mean, a combination. I don't know where you. That's a great question, Steve. I don't know where you draw the line, but I think that instinctively, he's a football player.
Right.
You know, he knew what to do. You know, he just did the right thing. He knew when to go behind a blocker. He knew when to go over him. He knew when to play with power. When to try to slip him. When to, you know, fake the blitz, when to get up there and go. And you know, the first play to Philadelphia game and empty, you know, comes in there and hits McNabb. Mm-hmm. It's just so many plays that he just did right. And sometimes I don't even know if he knew how he did it.
Right.
But he just knew what the right thing to do was, and he was there.
So did you ever watch
I don't know about the NFL Hall of Fame, but this guy's going to be a Patriots.
You ever
Hall
watch
Fame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, there's no question about that. Yeah. Say, I don't know what you're doing, but you made the play.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously you had parameters for the linebackers, but he wasn't afraid when he saw something to go at it 100%.
That's the key for it. That's right. When he saw it, it doesn't matter what his responsibility is. He knew as a football player, this is what I got to do. And he always did the right thing. And some guys, they kind of always do the wrong thing. They make that decision, but it's the wrong time to do it. And he always seemed to have a knack to know when to go, when to stay, you know, when to drop his guy, when to stay with him, you know, all those kind of things. And you're right, you give them parameters, but, you know, ultimately it becomes, you know, football's a game of a lot of fast decisions out there on the field, and boy, he could make them. He could really make quick decisions. He was a very instinctive player.
You were talking about going out on his own terms. Did you sense that this was going to happen? Did you have any conversations with him earlier in camp about his role or where this could lead?
Yeah, well, we've talked about, Teddy and I have talked, all through his career. We talked at the end of the season. We talked at the beginning of the year this year in the off-season program when he, you know, his knee scope. We talked at the end of in minicamp in the spring. We talked. So, we've talked about the different – and certainly his role was changing this year with the emergence of Gerard and Gary. And so, we've talked about it. But, you know, kind of Sunday was, you know, that's kind of where – you know, when all this happened.
When you look back at 2005, and he has the stroke, and I think everybody was saying, let's just hope that Teddy is healthy enough so that he can raise the kids. And the,
right.
Did you have any idea that he would be able to play competitive football at a high level, most tackles of any player on the team the next year? Do you have any sense at that time he could play football at that level again?
Well, the only thing I'll say, Glenn, is that once he started coming back to the facility in maybe April, May, whenever it was, he looked better every single day. So the first time you saw him, you would say, well, no, this, you know, I can't see how this is going to happen. But, you know, the next day he was better, and the next day he was better, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and one day at a time. And as you kept seeing him improve, day by day, there was certainly a point where you started thinking, he's going to be all the way back. Because there was no signs that it wasn't going to continue to hit in that same, you know, direction. And it was really, you could see the progress literally daily.
Was there nervousness in the staff's part in that, you know, he wants it? You got to be careful because you don't want to push him too much.
There's an ambulance at every practice because you got to be careful about where status is. You know, always apprehensive.
I mean, how difficult was that? What a fine line that you guys had to deal with, knowing you got a real competitive guy who's sitting here wants to come back and play. You obviously want him to play, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think ultimately that's a medical decision. It's not a coaching decision. And once a player is cleared to play, then it's a coaching decision. You play the players based on situation and performance. But until the player is cleared medically, then it's really not an option. So, you know, we have great confidence in our medical staff. They do a great job here. He had great care with the physicians and the facilities in this area. And so once he was cleared to play, then that's when, as a coach, I said, okay, but he looked like he was ready to.
Was there any visible drop-off from prior to the stroke? Because people said, we didn't look as quick. I said, he had better numbers, but only you would know if his game diminished anything or he got it back 100%.
Yeah, I think it came back. I think it, you know, like any player who hasn't played for a while, it took a little time to, you know, to get that timing and the reactions and all that back. But, yeah, no, I think it was back, and I think his performance showed that.
We constantly hear about field generals, veterans, guys that really know the game inside and out, and guys that react that way with younger players. In the course of a year, you've lost Harrison, Vrabel, and now Bruschi. What has to happen? Is it, first of all, is that overrated? And if it isn't overrated, what has to happen with the
There's a big similarity
players
between
you
the
have right now? Do you have guys that can develop into those type of players, or do you feel comfortable right now that you've got a couple of guys that are there?
Well, I think that there are players on our team that are, you know, emerging into those roles. In some cases, maybe one player. In some cases, a combination of players. But, you know, we played most of the season last year without Rodney. And so the players that played, James and Brandon and, you know, those guys, they had to emerge as leaders. They're, you know, Rodney wasn't there. And, you know, Teddy in the last four games of the season last year and this year in training camp, you know, Gerard and Gary coming in and Adelius and, you know, that coming in, not that they weren't good players last year, but the dynamics and the chemistry a little bit had changed. So particularly within the linebacker room. But that's, you know, that's the NFL. That's professional football. You know, there's changes every year. I mean, there's going to be changes in some room every year. And so, but I think those players have done a very good job of carrying the torch, so to speak, that you know, that Teddy burned so brightly with.
Can a guy like Teddy stay away from something this competitive? You know, I mean, it burns inside him to be competitive, to achieve. He always has. You know, and I go home, my wife throws cold water on me, hits me with a stick, because you get angry. You know, football is an outlet for the violence and for the aggression. You know that. And yeah. Guys that play at a high level, it's hard to walk away from that aggression. Someone beeps your horn at you, you put your head through the windshield. You know, I've done that, but. You know what I'm
not lately, not this year.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
You're driving very competitive to an Air Supply concert.
I went to Air Supply. Like, but there is an outlet for that aggression, that focus. And a guy that's that focused on achieving, will he have to get back in coaching or something? Because it's in your blood.
Yeah, well, I think that's a question for Teddy to answer. I don't think I can answer that. And I think Teddy put it well today. You know, he'll take it day by day. And I think that's the way he's taken it in the past, and that's served him well, and I'm sure that you know, that type of attitude will serve him well in the future.
All right, we're taking a 90-second break. We're back with Bill Belichick here on The Big Show. Back here live at Gillette Stadium, it is Patriots Monday here on The Big Show. Freddie Smirlus, Steve Diassi is here, and it's our weekly interview with the Patriots coach, Bill Belichick. I would ask you about Tom Brady's condition. I know he was out of practice here today, but I know what the answer would be. But I do have a question about this whole injury situation, because you have a fine line. You've got to now, under a system the NFL needs to know exactly when guys practice, when they don't practice, and I understand that you've got to adhere to those rules. On the other hand, and you're seeing more and more of this around the league right now, in which teams are not giving an awful lot of information about an injury. How fine a line is it where you know that you've got to deal with the National Football League? On the other hand, if you give information out and you're too specific about an injury, team could use that against you in an upcoming game. And if I'm a player, I'm probably not real happy if my coach is giving out that information, because if my left arm's hurting and the guy across from me starts beating up my left arm, I'm a little bit pissed at you.
Right. Well, I'd say a couple of things on that, Glenn. One, I'm not really trying to keep anything from anybody. I'm not trying to, make anybody's job difficult, the media, or, not tell the fans something that I know they care a lot about and are very passionate about. That's not really it at all. But the fact of the matter is, and we've all had injuries, we've all had different ailments, and it's really impossible to tell a lot of times exactly how it's going to turn out, what day it's going to, what day it's going to be okay. And the thing about professional football is we're not talking about getting in a car, going to the store, and getting some groceries off the shelf. We're talking about playing at a very high competitive level against other great players. And so can he run? Yeah. Can he run good enough to play on Sunday in the National Football League? I don't know. That's a hard question to answer, especially 5 days before the game. So, right, if a guy practices, he practices. If he doesn't practice, he doesn't practice. That's clear-cut in the injury report. What does that mean? Some guys won't practice and will play. Some guys will practice and won't play. And, again, it's a very specific case-by-case thing. And we all know that we're all different. 10 of us can have hamstring injuries. We're not all going to come back on the same day. 10 of us can have sprained knees. We're not all going to come back on the same day or even the same week. Sometimes when a player comes back from an injury, it goes smoothly and he comes back on time or maybe a little bit ahead of what the projected time would be. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer or maybe there's a little bit of setback along the way. And that's just the truth. So it's really hard to predict those things. And so we have a guesstimate and we have the probable, questionable, doubtful categories. And that's 2 days before the game. And I'd say those are pretty reasonable guesses. But, again, just because a player is ready to play, that doesn't mean competitively that, as a coaching staff, we're going to play him. Maybe he hasn't been able to practice. Maybe there's another player that's, more ready to play than he is that particular week or in a particular situation. So it's a very difficult thing to pinpoint. Everybody's looking for the exact answer. And the truth is there really isn't one.
But a lot of times you guys are vague. You don't give specifics about what that injury is. And I noticed this weekend Kyle Orton got hurt. It was clear on television that he had it was his finger, and it was bleeding. And they referred to what I think is upper extremities injury. That's what they called it. I mean,
I can't really speak for what somebody else is doing. But
yeah, but you've done that before where you've been kind of vague in what the injury – Does it help you in any way to be specific about that injury? Are you doing that for any reason? And that if you're specific about it, you actually may be hurting that player who may be ready to play that next Sunday.
Certainly most players, I think, really don't want to have specific injury information out there. But we all know what the league rules are, and so we comply with that. But I think if you ask the players, do they want it public that their left ankle is whatever it is, I don't think that's something that they really are looking for. But that doesn't really make any difference because we all play under the same set of rules. And the only thing I would say is that sometimes, the injuries are – sometimes they're very specific. It's an ankle injury. It's a knee injury. It's an elbow injury. Other times it's not quite as defined. It's maybe in a particular area. There might be a number of things going on. And – We've certainly had a number of those before where it's kind of a combination of, guy gets hit, it's a little bit of an ankle, it's a little bit of a knee, So then we say, well, it's a leg, and then everybody's all mad because we didn't, but that's what it is. And not every injury is a, pinpoint specific injury. Some are, and if they are, I think for the most part, those are pretty easy to identify, but I can just tell you, not all of them are.
So Brady can shop then. That's what you're telling us, right? He can shop today.
Giselle does his shopping late.
Coach, if he wanted to, I'm sure he could.
What's of a difference? A lot's been made by Glenn about injuries being out there saying, well, if a backup quarterback's going to be in there, your preparation is different. You've got to prepare for him coming in if the injury happens during the game. How much does that change your preparation if you know the starter's hurt as opposed to not knowing he's hurt?
Well, I think it depends on who the player is and what that player does. So, if you know for sure that a guy is out, then you don't need to prepare for him, and that focuses your attention on somebody else. If you aren't sure, then you pretty much prepare for everybody. So, assuming everybody's healthy, you know, we basically prepare for all 53 players, knowing that they'll only activate 45, but we're not sure necessarily which 45 those are. So, you know, we prepare for all of them. But if you had a specific, you know, specific injury information that a certain player wasn't going to play, then yeah, of course, that, you know, you wouldn't prepare for him, and it might change the way you game plan that team.
So it's an advantage not to show a guy that's totally injured, so you'd help waste some of their time preparing for the guy.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, as a player, you try to watch film on everybody, but if you know who you're playing against, if you know you're playing against a certain center, then you're going to watch him. If you know that center's out, then you're going to watch the next guy. If you don't know for sure, then you're going to have to watch both of them, and that's, you know, just more work for you.
So is there any way to keep prolonging? I know years ago there was always teams that didn't put their full injury, I don't know if it was the Bills or somebody, didn't put the complement of injury people out there, and then you would start doing what they did or someone else, because why should you put them out if they're not declaring who's injured? So they scrutinize that a lot more now, making sure that they put the injured guys out.
Yeah, there's a policy that the league has for all teams, and we all follow it.
But what happened with Kevin O'Connell in his short time here?
I thought that Kevin worked hard. He tried to do the things that we asked him to do. I think in the end, the opportunities that he had, he just wasn't able to do enough with them. And so we kind of felt like that wasn't gonna work out. So we're gonna look at Andrew and Brian this week and see and evaluate them.
Was it a skill set issue? Was it a physical thing, or was it a mental thing, or a little bit of both?
In that position, there's a lot of factors that go involved, but that are involved in the evaluation. But I'd say to a certain extent, it's probably a combination of things.
Is there a point, because it was a short period of time with him? Obviously, we saw Matt Cassel here for an awful long time, and obviously you saw something in him. And last year he got an opportunity to play, and we saw what he could do. This was a short period of time for O'Connell. Do you evaluate? There's a process you go through that evaluation where maybe you figure out that there's only so much this kid can do in your system, that you come to the conclusion that if we give him even more time, it's just not going to work?
Yeah, well, I think that's basically the decision you have to make with young players. As long as the player's improving and you feel like, he's continually getting better, then you don't really know how far that player's going to go. I think at the point where you see the player's improvement rate start to level off or maybe even possibly decline, then you have to decide how you feel about that level. Is that good enough, or is it insufficient? And it's time to move on to find somebody else. And I'll say this about Kevin: it wouldn't surprise me to see Kevin play quarterback for another team in the National Football League. I think he's a smart kid. I think he works hard. I think he has a lot of talent. It just didn't work out for him here, and maybe part of that's our fault and the match of him and our system. So that's in another system, in another situation. I could see him doing well, but that doesn't help us any. We're not going to change what we're doing, so we have to evaluate based on what we do, not what somebody else does.
We had a lot of calls, and Steve had pointed out last year, preseason game is one of a practice, and you guys evaluate every practice and the film studies and all those other things. Because people call up, kid has a good arm, he runs well, how could a guy like that be? But we don't see 98% of the stuff that goes on in practice and 7-on-7 and in film study and his development of understanding the concepts. Because like you said, some quarterbacks, big arm quarterbacks, have a different system. Your system's more controlled. So, how much is preseason games as opposed to every day in practice? I mean, it's they're just glorified practices.
Well, it's a combination. There's no doubt about it. There's a combination of the practices and the games and there's really two different types of practices. There's one type of practice where the offense works against the defense, where the defense is playing their defenses, and then there's another type of practice where the offense works against a scout team defense that's trying to simulate an opponent or a particular look or situation. So, but in the end, we evaluate all those. So certainly game conditions are the best evaluator, but those are limited at that position. And But the, you know, that doesn't take into account, you know, a player's accuracy on the run or under pressure or avoiding tackles or you know, mobility in the pocket or, you know, game clock management. You can set up drills like that, but, you know, the game situations are, or that's the ultimate. So, you know, you evaluate all those things the best that you can. It's not perfect, but we're at the point now where we've got to make some decisions, and we just don't have any more time. There aren't any more preseason games after this one against the Giants, and we got to go. And so that's, I think, another part of the whole, you know, discussion relative to preseason. You know, you hear comments from people saying, well, you know, we only need two preseason games. We don't need a lot of games in preseason. Well, you know, I think if you're trying to develop a young quarterback, you talk to teams like Detroit and or, you know, teams like, in our case, you know, that are playing younger players.
Jets.
It's hard to evaluate them. You know, I mean, you're trying to get Tom Brady ready. You're trying to get your starter ready. And then when do you evaluate the younger guys? No preseason games. You're not going to put them in the regular season unless you have to. So, you know, I don't know how smart of an idea that is if the league's trying to develop young quarterbacks. So I think I put a lot of pressure on that situation.
I also said something interesting. Your system might not work for certain players. So when a guy is a great player at some team and you happen to get him over here, sometimes the loss they occur by him leaving is not as much of a benefit for you. That player might not fit in. He may run well, do all these things well, but not be able to grasp your concepts. So we're taking in players that have already been set in the system. Sometimes it's not a real easy adjustment.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. Sometimes it is. Sometimes a player will flourish in a new system, and sometimes he won't be as productive as he was in the system he was in. So you try to project that, but in the end, I don't think you really know for sure until you actually get him
it's
in that
system.
It's
much harder to do it from college to come and project him.
That's an even bigger projection. Oh, my God, yeah. That's a much bigger jump.
You said you were going to work with Andrew and Brian this week. Will you work with them exclusively in this game, in this fourth game?
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
Those are the two quarterbacks for this this game.
Yes.
Is there a possibility, as you watch what they do in that game this week, that you could be bringing somebody else in down the road?
Well, I think that's always a possibility. We've had player movement already this year. We've made a trade, made one in the spring, and we've traded a couple players. So could there be another trade or other movement? Sure. Are we talking to other teams? Are they talking to us? Yes. Does that mean anything's going to happen? No. I mean, it could, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it will. That's part of the – that happens. That always happens at this time of year. So those kind of conversations take place, and sometimes you have a deal and sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't even want one. So – but, well, you know, we listen and that's, you know, that's what happens at the final cutdown, and that's what we're coming up on now.
Can you judge the development of some of your rookies so far?
No, I think overall it's been a pretty good class, Steve. You know, similar to last year. I mean, obviously last year's results are in, this year's aren't, but in terms of the players working hard, you know, being diligent and mindful of really trying to do things the way that they need to be done within the system, trying to play within their role and their responsibilities, and, you know, not being big, you know, a lot of freelancing and things like that. So, you know, I think that, you know, Butler and Chung and Brace and Vollmer, all those second round picks have been very competitive in the opportunities that they've had. You know, certainly we would like to have had, you know, McKenzie out there, but that didn't work out. Then some of our later picks, you know, Ingram, you know, has done a good job of snapping. And, you know, Pryor and Richard on the defensive line, you know, Orenberger and Bussey on the offensive line. And some of those guys have missed a little bit of time. You know, Edelman's been competitive. So, you know, when you go down the line there in that group, it's, you know, overall been, I think, a pretty, you know, pretty competitive group. And a couple of free agents, you know, have also shown up from time to time, and they flash some plays. Now, again, I think it goes back to how much these guys improve, how consistent they are, and you know, do they keep improving, and what's the rate of improvement? So that's what we're judging, you know, just because a guy goes out and, you know, like Chung, you know, he's mishandled a couple punts, but, you know, he's hung in there, and at the end of the game last week, he handled the ball well and made a big play for us to win the game. So, you know, I think that's an example of the type of thing that you want to see. Can you, you know, eliminate the mistake? No, it happened, but if you feel like the player has been able to correct it and move on and perform without making that mistake, you know, repetitively, then, you know, you can kind of put it behind you and feel like, you know, he's learned from it.
Bill, it's great to be back down here in Foxborough for a Patriots Monday. We're looking forward to it. Hopefully you stay injury-free this week for the final preseason game, and next week we'll be back down. We'll talk about the start of the regular season.
We're going to dress up next time, too.
Just so I know there's a new
dress code.
Bill will dress down.
This is dress for me.
There's a new dress code.
Trust me, he will not show up. I'll bet you anything.
I have a string
tie.
I'll
bet you dinner at Fred and Steve's that he will not show up in a shirt and tie next week.
What's in it for me?
Whatever you need, Coach.
We'll even wait on your
table.
Two dinners. Okay.
All right, Coach. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thanks, Coach.